Listener, welcome to the first podcast of what promises to be a two podcast week.
This is it. So as the listener hears this, it's Monday. You jump out of bed, you rub the sleep from your eyes, you open the curtains and say to the world, bring it up. No, but Monday mornings aren't like that for most people.
I wake on a Monday and I go, yes, fresh opportunities lay ahead of me.
I wake up on a Monday and go, what day is it? It doesn't really matter. I haven't got a gig till Thursday. I'm going to get drunk.
Back to bed.
Back to bed. That's what I meant. Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one I meant.
Little, you know,
just muscle memory of my... So I went out last night and I've got to say, the most... I'm going to say, right, this concept doesn't do what I did justice. I guess, technically, you'd call it a pub crawl. But pub crawl sounds like... I mean, I went walking down the most beautiful... This city, for anyone who hasn't visited Norwich...
Smitten Norwich, aren't you?
Ash, come and just... My girlfriend's lived here for like 15 years. And she knows all the little... I'm telling
since,
you what, mate.
Since she was born.
No, she's lived all over the place, mate. She's a
no, I was insinuating she was 15, sorry.
I know, but I'm not a paedophile, so that doesn't make sense.
No. Paedophile would say exactly that.
Yeah, but so would a non-paedophile, as we know, as we've been over before. But because a non-paedophile wouldn't go, yeah, I'm a pedo, to throw people off the scent.
Is anyone a pedo? Sorry to go pedo heavy on a Monday morning, but is anyone a pedo and they go, oh no, I'm a pedo? Well, I'm not going to act on it, but I am a pedo.
I'd say 95% of pedos don't act on it, I'm just guessing.
And they've got the pedo vibe about them.
I would say, right, here's a question for you. How many, hypothetical, which is the best sort of question because there's no right or wrong answer, is the percentage of people that want to commit murder and don't greater or smaller than the percentage of people that want to fuck children but don't? Now, I know more people want to kill someone than... I mean, I think all of us have had a moment where you've been like, if murder was legal, I would kill that cunt. I mean, I have that 11 times a day.
Yeah.
You probably have. You've probably thought that. Well, people, you know, when your partner was getting abusive phone calls and stuff, it crosses your mind, it must do.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I don't know
so
whether you'll
go through
with it. But
millions and millions of millions of millions of people on the planet have all probably wanted to kill someone at one time or another. Not seriously, but just had that inkling. Now, obviously, the amount of people that want to fuck kids is great, way smaller, but as a percentage... Which do you think is more? Which group of people show would be murderers or would be nonces?
There's a lot more would be murderers. I don't really know. There's a lot more would be murderers who then don't murder, because like I would kill when someone cuts me up.
Yeah. So how about this? Think about this. Murder doesn't really go unnoticed. So even if you don't find out who did it, there'll be found a body in the woods.
Yeah.
So many kids have been nonced up and never say anything.
Yeah.
So actually, I think paedophiles are... See, now people always have said, or I have heard people say, oh, the media just always fright, you know, they always like put it out there and they make a big deal of it. It's not that common. I think it's more common.
Yeah, because there's abuse where, you know, all sorts... I mean, this is a bit deep in it, but... the problem
that's
is
what you get
these people
podcast.
Are forced to be silent and told the recriminations will be huge on them if they say anything. So yeah, there's a lot,
and it fucks them up for life, doesn't it? There's innocent young children fucked. So why did you think that was a suitable topic for comedy, Ash?
But also, I didn't.
You insinuated my girlfriend was 15. Why
yeah,
did you
oh,
think
yeah,
that
I
was
did
acceptable?
That. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was funny when I did that.
Did you? Oh, uh-huh. Okay. All right. Now, how about she's actually 40? Now, how about if she was nonced up at 15? And now
this
she's
is the thing.
Would she find that funny, Ashley Frith?
I can't speak for her. I can only speak for me.
Of course you can. It's a woman. That's how they like it.
There must be loads of people who have just kept it hush. It was like, we're from a generation where you don't talk about it. Before, up until recently, it was like, oh, like that weird guy or that uncle or whatever, he did something to me. He shouldn't. Oh, that's silly uncle thingy. Don't talk about him. Just don't mention it.
Yeah.
And that was
and
all just
this,
hushed
Ash?
Up. He's been able to live with that shit.
So we're saying that there must be a lot of people, we think, or it's possible, or probably probable, that there are a lot of people with nonce tendencies that never act on them. Yeah? So yeah. Why have I never heard the phrase, he was a deeply closeted paedophile? Well, I've never heard the phrase closeted paedophile. It's like, if you think about kids, you're a pedo, whether you do it or not.
But what happens if... So I wonder, if you had that thought and you went to the doctor or whoever and you went, oh, I have never done anything and I never will, but I just need you to know, like, these are the thoughts I'm having. I'm mentally ill. Like, what can you do to help?
What about if the doctor just sort of like, you thought he was writing a prescription, when you got outside, it was some like dark website that he just jotted down?
Because the...
He's in the ring.
He's part of the Illuminati and they're a paedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't understand the right. I'm going to come out and say this, and you, in this day and age, it's probably risky for me to nail my colours to the mast like this, because you should never be emphatic about anything. I normally like to hedge my bets, but I am not a paedophile.
No,
and I don't see the attraction in it.
No, no.
But if I did, I'd like to think I would be a closeted paedophile and I wouldn't act on it. Maybe my own kids. That's it. I don't know. Why have you done that? I don't know what's going on in your mind. I can't see you. What are you thinking? What's happening? Why have you gone quiet?
Why do you reckon I've gone quiet?
I don't know. I don't know you anymore. You left me hanging.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so we put that one to bed.
Fuck it. Oh, no, that's cot.
Sticking my dick through the railings of the cot like one of those.
No. Stop
now.
I'm treading on your. Yes, I am treading on your fucking punchlines.
You know those little water things that you put.
No, just stop.
Just your ding. Stop. Through. All right. Stop. All right. I'm not going to. It's not funny. I was the one who told you it weren't funny. You started it. So, on our first bi weekly podcast, we get cancelled. Nice.
We didn't say anything to cancel us. We were talking.
No, I think we cancel had a us, mate. We're outlaws.
We had a very grown-up conversation.
Here's
about...
the thing: I don't do any pedo jokes. I don't like them. So I don't know what happened.
I did that one about your girlfriend being 15. I did do that.
Yeah, exactly. Why is that okay? And I can't talk about sticking my cock through.
No, just stop saying it.
Anyway, I don't find it funny. And maybe something happened to me. You wouldn't know if it had. I wouldn't tell anyone.
You'd have told me by now. You've told me so much stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
You'd have let it slip.
Yeah. Hashtag, yeah, I'm not going to go into that.
What a weird thing. I was thinking this the other day, that if, like, my dad died or my mum died...
They can't speak...
of it to anyone else or their beliefs or their understanding of anything, right? But I always just find it so strange when people announce this terrible thing. Like, oh, my dad's died, or, you know, this tragedy has happened today. I'm thinking, why would your mind be to go onto social media and post that?
Like, I'll tell you what, and I'm going to do, because it's obligatory, Norm MacDonald section of every podcast we record.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear when he was talking about that Tig Notaro? She had to have the double mastectomy, and she did a whole show about cancer and the double mastectomy. And I think at the end, she might even take her shirt off to show her, removed breasts. Not a removed breast, they're in a jar, but where her breasts were, I suppose.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. And he was on a podcast talking about it going, you know, these people go up there and this woman's talking about getting cancer and surviving, and everyone calls it brave and it's like she's special. And he goes, it's not brave at all to go up there and talk about that stuff. You know, all right, you've got cancer. That's everybody. You're not special. And at the time I heard him, I was like, philosophically, I know where he's coming from, but that is a little bit cunty.
Yeah.
But knowing that when he did that interview, I don't know what he had. But I'm going to say bowel cancer. He had that great bit about bowel cancer, didn't he? When he's describing the pain of it. And
yeah.
So he was talking about it and taking that influence, but not setting himself up on this pedestal of pity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think depending
and that's
on
what
how
that
it's
is. So, sorry,
depending
to...
on how it's posted, because I think it can be good to normalize it, and it can be good to talk.
I'm not saying, yeah, I'm not saying it's bad, but what I'm saying is, I think the impetus when these people go, like, if you're over, I'm going to say something that might sound harsh. If you're over 20 years of age when one of your parents dies, yes, it's sad, but it's not like tragic. It's unfortunate.
It is to you, but not to the in the grand
course,
scheme of things.
Of course, but
losing
your parents. If I, like, I'm going to hopefully be 50s or maybe even 60s when I lose my parents. So I haven't lost a parent, so I shouldn't really. Like I say, Norm had cancer, so I feel he was better qualified to say this. I haven't lost a parent. If I lose one in my 50s, 60s, it's not tragic.
Yeah, no one's going, oh, it's terrible for Justin. Yeah, like, his 90-year-old parent died.
There's that funny one in the funny bit in, not all of it's funny, Curb Your Enthusiasm, where Artie Funkhauser, his mum dies and he's like in his 60s and he's like, I'm an orphan, refers to himself as an orphan.
That's what my dad did, funnily enough, when his dad
died.
That's
quite funny, isn't it? Because you're not an orphan. You're an orphan when you're like dependent on these people.
Yeah.
And you're sort of abandoned by,
but then, yeah, so it is weird, depending on the style of it. Like, if you are looking for sympathy, it's difficult, isn't it? Maybe you're allowed to, or maybe it's me.
No,
but you
I
are
wouldn't.
Allowed to.
Again, if I was Norm, if I had cancer, I would do what Norm did. Like, talk about cancer, because I think you're allowed to.
Yeah,
but without, But not that, I mean, I've watched the, okay, I don't know why I brought this up. I watched the first 10 minutes of the new-ish Hannah Gadsby.
Oh, yeah.
Special. It's called, like, George or something like that, isn't it?
Don't know. Not interested.
Yeah. You're not interested in talking about it? Or you're not interested?
No, yeah, I'm interested in you talking about it. You talk about what you like. I just don't particularly find Hannah Gadsby funny, that's all.
I don't understand what she's doing. I mean, this is such a hot take, I know. But it's not comedy. And it's not interesting. It's not like a TED Talk.
No.
And people are whooping at her saying sentences.
But I saw a thing where someone said, well, she didn't say it was a stand-up comedy.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I'm not blaming her. You know, look, she does what she does, and there's obviously an audience for it. That's fine. We do what we do. I mean, most people would listen to this and go, what the fuck is... Yeah, I get it. I get it. Mm. But normally I can see a merit, or I can sort of go, do you know what, I don't... Like, I went, okay, give you an example, not quite the same. I went for a coffee in a new hipster boutique-y coffee place this week, one I'd never been to before. And it was that fucking, I drink my coffee black, no sugar, as we know. And it was that fucking new trend of a sort of citrusy, lemony, almost like a tea-flavoured coffee. And I said, well, where are these beans from, mate? And he goes, oh, they're our Ethiopian roast. Do you like it? And I was about to go, yeah. And my girlfriend went, no, we're not a fan at all. We don't like this citrus type of coffee. And
she's very brave. She's
mate,
so
my
brave.
Arsehole, my arsehole. Mate, brave. I just looked down. And she clocked that I was uncomfortable. And afterwards she went, I'm really sorry if I embarrassed you. And I went, you did!
What did the guy in the shop say?
He went, oh, you should have said we've got this Colombian roast, which is more caramel.
You should have said. You shouldn't have said. You shouldn't have given me the citrus one first.
The more I drank it, it tasted like tea, mate. Like black tea, like that. Black. No, not black tea. Almost like coffee with like a third of a fucking cup of green tea in it.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get those tea drinkers over because they know, like, we, the same as dark chocolate. We know coffee's disgusting.
Right.
But
what
people
do you want
sort
about
of...
dark chocolate again? What is your hang-up? You are so fucking... You are so... you got such a chip on your shoulder about your stupid...
A dark chocolate chip.
You got a dark chocolate chip on under your tongue. And I don't want to criticise you because you like Milky Bar, mate.
No, I'm not criticising you.
No, but you can't believe that I like it.
No, I don't believe you like it. I don't believe anyone likes it. I like it, but I don't believe I do.
Okay, well, that's a better example. Hannah Gadsby. I don't like... I hate it. But I can believe people like it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It's exactly the same. Well,
but
done.
You can't
thank
believe
you
people like
point.
Dark chocolate. That's not the same. That's the opposite.
No, I do believe you think you like it.
Yeah, I believe people think they like Hannah Gadsby.
There you go. You've proved my point. Thank but you.
What sort of ego monster would say, I don't like it, therefore no one can like it. They're
you just said the same
themselves.
Thing.
No, I didn't.
So do you believe that people like Hannah Gadsby? Or do
I can see why. I believe other people like something that I don't like.
Do you believe that they like them, or do you believe they think they like her?
I believe some people do both. I think there's both. I think some people actually really love it, and some people think they do because it's zeitgeisty.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, but I think both. You think that no one can like dark chocolate.
Because it's gross.
I don't know why this bothers me. This is the only thing I want to slap you about.
I think the biggest thing about it for me is the hang-ups of people who like dark chocolate but think that sort of milk chocolate, which I also don't eat, that they think that that is somehow a child. Like, it's like, oh,
but I've never said that.
No, did I say you? Did I say you?
But yes, that's literally although the difference of a chip on your shoulder, isn't it?
The Milky Bar comment. But yeah, I'm just saying. People go, actually, no, I don't eat Cadbury's chocolate because I'm a grown up. Dark chocolate. And it's like, yeah, but it's gross.
No, but that's like having
that. But I like it. I eat it. And I like having.
That's like, say you had, not disparaging, right? Say you'd only ever eaten a tin of Heinz spaghetti.
Oh yeah,
and then you went to an Italian restaurant, right? And you had
had
linguine with a puttanesca. I don't know, whatever, like actual Italian. It's like,
sorry, no, I asked for spaghetti.
Exactly, and then you go.
This one doesn't even look like the characters from Frozen.
And then you go, do you know what? It's Tuesday night. I'm fucking half. There's a tin of spaghetti in the cupboard. I'll eat it. But if you went invited people around for dinner and served it up, it's just. It's not the same. You can know both. But once you go to the more things, the actual taste of cacao, then it's difficult. I don't like dairy milk. I don't like it. I actually don't like it.
Again, here's the thing. And you can disagree with me if you like, but I think deep down you know it's true.
I'm going to disagree with you before you've said it. How about that?
I believe you are your whole Justin Panksism, right? Your whole persona, the whole of Justin Panks is to punish yourself constantly for some crime that you think you've committed your life.
More than one. Right? Go on. Yeah.
And that's why, like, you don't eat sugar.
Like, yeah, because I've got a bad back.
Yeah, but everything that's got sugar in it is delicious.
Yeah, but I've got degenerative osteoarthritis. Yeah, but that,
you're like, no, I'm not eating that shit fucking sugar. That I don't believe that it's all about the arthritis, because also, you love the arthritis.
What?
You love it. It's like every pain that you feel, you go, oh, I deserve that.
Right, that might be true. I'm not going to, but put that to one side.
Oh, I'm in agony. Oh, my ovula was right out. You've never been happier than when your ovula was right out and you thought you were going to die. That's the happiest I've ever known you to be.
That's just an ovula, not an ovulum. That's like a period, I think. But I am.
That right?
I think women ovulate.
Yeah.
I am. I'm not saying you're. I'm expect not saying you like this
once a week. Ash, I can't swallow. I'm so happy.
That sounds like I was giving you a blowjob. That was weird. Once a week, I look up at you with my big eyes. I can't swallow, and you splash on my face.
Oh
no. So anyway, I'm not saying you're wrong. You might be right. But when it comes to flavors, I actually enjoy them, and I'm gonna reveal something I've never told anyone before, and I've hidden this.
Go on.
I think it's probably the weirdest thing about me, and I invented it, and it's weird. One of my favorite things to eat is fried ketchup.
Oh.
I fry ketchup, and it tastes.
Does it go hard?
No. Well, I put oil in the pan, and I put a pinch of smoked paprika. Yeah. Then I put ketchup in, and it cooks that sweet vinegar out of it, and it goes like the equivalent of dark chocolate to a Milky Bar. You know, like a kid, you know, equivalent of it. It's like the dark chocolate version of ketchup, basically.
I'm excited by that. I'm gonna say I'm excited by that.
Where there you go then? Where can you? But nice people go, well, no, ketchup's all sweet and nice, but I try and cook the sweetness out of it, and it's almost like a sun-dried tomato ketchup.
I mean, I've
fried
had that.
Ketchup is the shit, mate. I should patent it, put it in a bottle. It's fucking amazing. Okay. It goes like purple.
I'm going to do something this weekend.
You can't cook.
I can't cook. My wife, I went out to a gig last night and I phoned her up en route because I was in fucking awful traffic. And she was cooking dinner. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, I'm just making this. I'm doing this. She had about, there's about 20 pots and pans because you will never wash up. But I got in, I was like, what? She wasn't there. I would just eat.
Yeah, because you're a geezer.
No, I'm not a geezer. I'm far from a geezer. I just can't fathom going, well, I'm going to throw some ingredients together and have a delicious meal. I've got no time for that.
I remember once when I was a student, and I thought this is terrible, but I made a Frey Bentos pie and smash and a tin of Bachelor's mushy peas and like put it all on a plate and sat in the kitchen and ate it on my own. And it was probably one of, I don't know why, it still flashes on my sort of inner eye as one of the most depressing episodes of my life.
Yeah, that is pretty depressing.
And it was like,
I remember, I reckon the worst thing I've ever cooked, and I'd probably eat it again because it wasn't bad tasting, but it's a similar sort of thing. When I was living on my own in a flat and I had no money, I was fucked. And I made Bachelor super noodles on a slice of toast.
Yeah, that sort of thing where you go, you know what? I'm going to try and zhuzh up convenience. I'm going to try and take a convenience food and turn it into an ingredient.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sadder than just eating. I mean, if you just ate the dry super noodles out of the packet and then dip the sachet in your mouth, that's less depressing than sort of coming home with it, like ready, steady, cooked.
What have I got?
I'm going to do a slice of bread. I'm going to do noodles on toast.
I think the worst, actually, because I was so poor, I'd just buy a huge bag of pasta because it was like a quid.
Yeah.
And this is awful. Awful. I just used to boil up a big bowl of pasta. And then I would just stir in salad cream as a sauce.
That's basically tuna pasta for a vegetarian, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
Well, tuna, yeah. Sweet corn and salad cream.
I didn't even have sweet corn. It would just be pasta.
I've got bits in it.
With salad cream.
Pasta salad cream. That sounds nice.
Yeah, that's all right.
I like salad cream.
Also, I would just steam. I'd get a sieve and steam a big bowl's worth of veg. And that would be dinner. Just a bowl of steamed veg for dinner. Get me goodness in me. I was so skint. There's no way I should be living in that flat. At that point, I paid mortgage payments on a credit card. I was absolutely screwed.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting close to that, I think. All these gigs getting pulled.
Yeah, you had a gig pulled last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Well, last week, yeah.
Oh, last week, because now this is the future.
Right. Can I... Well... I don't know if I am one or not one. Do you think I'm someone that blows their own trumpet?
No.
Well, I'm going to. I was listening to a podcast. Probably the biggest podcast in the world, the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah.
And he had a
guy
on...
That's a big name as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So he had a guy on there from England, and I've written this down. This is how important this is. Called Philip Goff. And it's episode number 1739. And I urge regular listeners of this podcast to go and watch it because, actually, Philip Goff is a consciousness, professor of consciousness or a professor of something philosophy, and he deals in consciousness. And it's all about what is consciousness, where does it come from? And there's three schools of thought. There's dualists. I can't write. This is quite, I don't know anyway, but bear with me. So he was saying, I'm looking at my notes. There's people called panpsychists. Pan meaning everything, right? From the Greek pan, and psychist. So it means everything has a consciousness. And it's a school of thought that thinks atoms, so everything's got a consciousness.
Yeah.
So he, because what he's basically saying is, why is a stone... Like how made out the same atoms that make up a pebble, but we have consciousness. Like where is it? Where does it live?
Yeah.
And they were talking around it and going, some people think that, you know, consciousness comes from the brain, and some people think that the brain
evolved. You think it comes off planet, didn't you?
Yeah. Honestly, I was listening to them talking and it was like I had the answer. Honestly, it's like... It was like, you know, the I can't think of the word, parasite. That's it. The parasite theory of mine. I was going, oh, this, it was like, it's like if I, you know, if you know, like if you knew, like, was good at maths and you, or something, you know, the answer to a riddle and you're watching other people flounder with it and you, yeah, you, yeah, you know, yeah. You know, it was like that. I actually think I've solved one of the biggest, deepest mysteries of the universe.
So we're collecting the external conscious.
Well, that's a different thing. That local, that's a thing that they call that non-local consciousness. They think we are, but I'm talking about our consciousness. What? Because they were talking about experience. Like he was going, if you see a beautiful red sunset, what he was saying was zombies basically have human behaviours. But, you know, zombies, the thing is they're not conscious. So you could, like ants and stuff, they're going, are they conscious? Or do they just have these sort of like behaviours? Like they send pheromones to each other, they go find a grain of sugar, they take it back.
Some of them just use their head to block a door and sacrifice themselves.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But they don't, you wouldn't say that's altruistic.
No, that's what I mean. They can't be doing it consciously.
Yeah, but I don't know. But this is what they're saying. There's some school of thought that think that everything's got consciousness. Even inanimate objects. Otherwise, we couldn't have. Because we're made out of inanimate objects. We are basically inanimate objects, aren't we?
We are animate objects.
Yeah, but... Yes, no, sorry, we are. But we're made out of inanimate material.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing, isn't it?
I had this thing yesterday, funnily enough, as I was driving along, and I was thinking... Because I keep talking about, you know, we are this collection of atoms, and this collection of atoms has always existed, always will exist. At one point, you were just a little spuncular and an egg. You were one spunk and an egg.
Well, not even me. That partially. Obviously, half of me was in the egg, and half of me, my DNA code. So not
so
even...
So isn't that weird? At one point, you weren't all the atoms you are now. No, those had to be pulled in from somewhere else, but you were still you.
Yeah, that's the thing. How can something grow? Where do the atoms come from? They come from within. That's the weird thing, isn't it?
It's carbon.
When you a fucking meteor hits the Earth and then a load of fucking dust came off and rocks and went into the orbit, made the rings of Saturn and then formed the moon. That's just redistributing atoms, isn't it? Those atoms are on the planet. Some huge force dispersed them. They got caught in a sort of orbit and then they formed together to make the moon. That's the official theory. We know it's a hollowed out space station. But when it comes to an animal, those atoms, where do they come from?
Well, this is the thing, and this is so obvious, right? And I studied science. I love science. This is so thick of me that only in the last few months has this occurred to me. And I apologize to you for me being this thick. The reason a plant breathes in carbon dioxide and breathes that oxygen is because it takes that carbon to make its mass.
Yeah.
It uses that carbon. It had never occurred to me that that's where the carbon goes. And because I thought, how the fuck does a plant grow? If you put it in a pot and leave it in a pot and it grows, where's that matter coming from? Where's it? But it's taking it from the air.
No, of course, nutrients.
Nutrients. Well, okay, it sucks in carbon dioxide and it uses that carbon.
I'm not talking about, like, obviously, if I ate 10,000 calories a day, I get fat. And that is, but that's not the actual food. That's the weird thing. Like, if you ate a bin bag size bag, you don't get a bin bag bigger. But if you ate, like, you know, like, a fucking bucket size of sugar every day and your bones stop growing. It's like whenever you're feeding your kids and they grow and get taller, then all of a sudden your bones stop growing, but you get fatter. But it's like, it's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
Like you could have a kid and you could get them, you could have them on calorie deficit, which you would never do, it'd be cruel. But like if you were on a diet, you're going to calorie deficit, you consume less calories than you burn. If you'd done that to a child, they would still grow. They'd still get bigger.
Yeah. But, there's a thing in the cells.
They'd get taller and
going...
stuff, wouldn't they? So it's like, it's not even as simple as, all the atoms in that food become your body. It's like your cells double and multiply, and then they just stop. They arbitrarily
something
stop.
Something switches them off, doesn't it? So at some point, something in your makeup goes, stop now.
But
I think
this is my theory. I've said it before, way back. Nothing stops growing. We don't stop growing. It's just everything. The gap in the, you know, they say we look at atoms and they're mainly air. There's gaps in between the nucleus and the protons.
They're getting tighter, are they?
No, the opposite. Everything's expanding. Imagine two beach balls. They're a meter apart. Now, these beach balls can be infinitely inflated. They're a meter apart, and each beach ball just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But as they get bigger, they move apart the same rate.
Yeah.
So they always appear to be a meter apart, but they're just getting bigger.
Yeah.
And if everything did that, I mean everything. I mean, I'm talking about quarks. I'm talking about the strings in the center of quarks, if that's right.
Yeah, why not? The strings in quarks.
Yeah, the strings in the center of quarks and quasars and photons and the nucleus and the protons and neutrons and the universe. That's how it expands. And it looks like everything's, it looks like the Earth and the Sun and the Moon are all the same distance away. But if they're all expanding and space is expanding, it would remain the same, wouldn't it?
So if change that speed? Why am I growing for a bit?
No, come on, don't pick holes.
So
me and you are stood in a room together, right?
Yeah.
Me and you are doubling in size every second. So is the room.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, that's what's happening. That's how the universe can. That's the only way I see the universe can keep expanding and everything stays where it is. That's the only way we can have any sort of stability is the actual gaps in the atoms are expanding. They're the things that are expanding at the same rate as the universe, and they're exponentially getting bigger and bigger, but everything's remaining the same scale to in relation to each other.
That's why I'm so clumsy sometimes when I've just woken up, because I've grown.
Yes, sometimes.
I've grown like 1,000,000%.
Have you ever done that thing where you've been like really hungover and your head just feels... Oh, sorry, I don't mean nothing by this, but like my head feels massive. Like I got my eyes closed and it's like my eyes...
Wobbling around on your head.
No, but instead of thinking my eyes are 1.5 inches away from the tip of my nose or whatever, they feel like 2 meters, and all of my scales all gone.
Never had that. Have you ever had it when you're driving and suddenly your brain reverses the polarity of the road?
What?
So you're driving along forwards,
yeah,
and then suddenly you realise you're. Everything feels like it's going backwards for a second.
No, but but weirdly, I turned my record player on the other day and it was going backwards. And then I turned it off and turned it on and it went the proper way. And I thought, how the fuck has that happened?
Well, reversed polarity.
Yeah, but there's no function to make the motor go backwards. I just thought that was impossible.
Well, I guess if the power is reversed, it could potentially do that.
But it just did it and then I turned it off and on and it didn't. So here's my, I was thinking this, I've got another little philosophy, or not philosophy, it's kind of a question for you again. You reminded me of it with driving. Think of life as driving. Now, you're looking at a tree, you're driving through the woods, a wooded road, right? There's trees at the side of the road, I don't fucking know. And you're looking at the trees out the front window, and they're coming towards you quite slow, they look like, didn't they?
Mm.
But if you look out the side window, they're going past you really quick, aren't they?
Yeah.
Then if you look in the rearview mirror, they're going away from you the same speed that they come towards you, but it's technically an augmented reality, isn't it? You're not actually looking at the trees. You're looking at light reflecting off the trees, hitting the mirror, and it's all reversed, like you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that a good metaphor for life? Like, you've got
it's
events
whizzing
coming.
By in the... No, it's not. It's kind of the opposite of life.
So Christmas is around... No, it's not. It's like Christmas is around the corner. And it seems like it's a long way off and it's coming. Oh, it's fucking mid-November. So that's how you look at things in the distance. They seem to be quite... But actually, you're going past things really quickly. Like, the seconds are passing. Like, in a fucking... Well, at a second at a time.
Well, but in the behind is so fast, isn't it?
The thing back, I'm saying looking backwards is altered. So I'm saying like the future seems always unattainable. Like, tomorrow's always a day away, as Little Orphan Annie said. But then the present goes by in a blink of an eye. But then looking back, you're not actually looking at anything. You're looking at a version of. It's not real.
Does the present go by in a blink of an eye?
What I'm saying is, imagine going, right, next year we're going on holiday, right?
Very slow.
That's looming on the horizon.
Looming.
We then go, me and you and our partners and our children, go and have our 10 days all-inclusive holiday at a fantastic resort because we're loaded.
Where are we going?
Well, we'll talk about it. But that 10 days goes quick. Then you look back on it, But what you're looking back on isn't actually it. So what you actually experience is like looking out the side window, very quick and rapid. And it takes forever to get here, goes by in the blink of an eye. Then when you look back, you're looking at an augmented, altered version of it. And I don't know what that means. But that's kind of like, I think it's like driving.
Hold on. It's like drive.
Life's like driving, yeah.
Oh, it's weird. I thought you were going to go the other way. Driving's like life, but you've gone life. You've switched it so that you're making the metaphor about driving.
Well, it works both ways, I guess.
Yeah, but I've never heard anyone switch the metaphor to say, the thing is about life, it's like driving.
Yeah.
You see what you've done?
I took something complicated and made it simple rather than take something simple.
No. What I mean is normally the metaphor...
Yeah,
is about life. You go, and that's a metaphor for life.
Yeah, and I have.
Yeah, but you just said, and that, you basically went, and that's a metaphor for driving, which is true.
I didn't mean to.
No, it's still true.
Yeah,
but I just really like making a big metaphor about and saying, yeah, and if you think about life, and it very much, that's very similar to driving. You know, you made the metaphor about driving rather than about life.
Whatever, I guess. That's like a restaurant door.
I don't think people are thinking deeply enough about driving.
I don't think they are either. I think people are just sitting there and letting their mind play tricks on them and reversing the road because they're too bored.
You must have had that happen. Other listeners,
even know what you mean.
Let me tell you this as well. I did a bit of stand-up last night. It's not a bit of stand-up. It's just a fact, really. But
it's about fucking your mate's wife.
What happened was I was taking a piss and my wife came in to brush her teeth whilst I was pissing, which is completely unacceptable in my mind. But she,
why don't you lock the door then?
Well, actually the bathroom door does not lock.
Why haven't you put a lock on the bathroom door?
The door doesn't fit in the frame properly.
A bit like driving, isn't it?
Very much so. But I did the shudder. The piss shudder.
Right.
And she said, what the fuck was that? And I then looked into it. I was like, that's just when you're finishing pissing. She went, no. And it turns out only like 20% of people get a shudder when they're finishing pissing.
I don't even know what you're on about.
That's the thing. No one, 80% of people have no clue what I'm talking about.
You're pissing. What, and the last, very last drop or towards the end?
It's very close to the end. You just go... whole body's like that expression of someone walking over your grave.
Yeah,
it's that
your grave.
And yeah, no, I mean the shudder.
Right.
So you don't have that shudder.
No.
Well, listener, we ask you to get in touch so infrequently.
Is there a percentage male to female ratio, or is it just a human thing?
Well,
might be related to what I'm thinking.
My daughter has a shudder. My wife doesn't. My son doesn't. I do.
Because women don't have a prostate, do they?
No, they don't.
God, this is more embarrassing than you not knowing about plants. So how do they control everything?
Well, the grip. They have a pelvic floor, don't they?
What? Yeah, okay. But what about the back door?
I don't think our prostate controls the back door, does it?
I don't know. Doesn't it?
What does the prostate do?
I thought it was just like a gripper.
It's a gland, isn't it?
Yeah, gland. There's something wrong with mine.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't enjoy spunking up anymore. I get it's like a slight, mild cramp beneath the gooch, and then like a drop of super glue comes out. So depressing. I don't know why you find that funny.
Why don't you go see a doctor?
Yeah, he's going to put his finger up my arse, and I don't want to have to do a hacky bit of material about it.
Oh, come on.
I didn't mean that.
Wow,
I'd love
it. Tommy, that's a good bit.
I'm not saying. It's, I don't know.
I just don't like it. Just
seems weird, like arranging to get fingered. It seems, just seems take romance out of it.
It will save your life.
Schedule these things, do you?
It might save your life. That's all. But you don't want that anyway.
Yeah. So getting back to the consciousness thing.
Okay.
And I was thinking, like, people understand instincts. I think that we're not far enough along the road. I think that human beings and science isn't as far enough along the road, if they choose a metaphor of driving.
Yeah.
to be able to call me right yet, but I think ultimately I will be proven right.
Because what, the expansion thing?
No, well, that's definitely right, and that made sense, didn't it?
How can the universe... Like I said, why you're using that, and then what happens when you get old and you stop growing?
There's all that. But you don't stop growing. You don't stop growing, do you?
No, but why do you actually stop growing, even if you're still expanding?
Because that's about relativity. That's the theory of relativity, actually. It's all relative. Like a baby to a six-foot adult becomes a six-foot adult, but then the six-foot adult keep expanding.
Yeah.
That was how you flatten an answer when you don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Well, right, but no, my theory about the cosmic parasite. Because they would say, because like people, like, things get more and more refined as we go along. For example, and smaller. Like people used to think that...
Hold on. Things are getting smaller now.
No, but our understanding of things. I mean by that is we had the bubonic plague, yeah? And people didn't understand germs. And they go, oh, actually, it's the rats. We've worked it out. It's the rats. But it weren't the rats. It was the fleas on the rats.
Oh,
but,
or was it the fleas? No.
Well, now listen. I don't know. Don't tell me this fact.
I know. Wasn't it the bacteria in the...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So at the time...
That's what I'm saying.
At the time, they thought it was evil spirits. That was how the man used to explain everything.
Bad smells first, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they used to wear those big sort of scary cone crow heads.
What the fuck were they thinking with that? Yeah.
They put potpourri in there.
No, that's fucking terrifying. What's going on with Victorians? I know that was
Victorians.
But what was going on with that time, the old times?
They controlled people with fear like they are now with this pandemic, mate, really, if you think about it. The authorities walk around looking like that. And like now they're walking around in, I don't know, riot gear, smacking you over the head if you haven't been vaccinated to protect you from a mystery illness that no one can see and doesn't exist. Anyway... That's right. They go, oh, it was the rats. And then we go, oh, no, it weren't the rats. It was the fleas. But they were kind of still right. It actually was. If you had rats in your house, you would ergo have fleas in your house. And then they go, oh, it's not the fleas. It's actually these tiny little things inside the flea's saliva, if you like. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then they can probably now they could go, oh, like this coronavirus thing. They can go, oh, it's not just the coronavirus. It's the fact that now look on the skins of the proteins. It's got like a spot. They can actually go
How far can we go macro?
And I think that people do that. They go, oh, we do things, good things and bad things. We kill and people do bad things because the devil tells you to. Then they go, oh, no, it's not that. It's actually because you've got instincts that, you know, when you get hungry and there's a scarcity of food, you know, it's... And then they go, oh, no, it's actually not. It could be sort of like a genetic program, nature versus nurture. It can be PTSD. So we're always refining and refining. And I think where we are with consciousness, we'll go, actually, we've isolated it. It is the byproduct of a cosmic parasite that has infected a certain type of higher primate on this planet and given it something, a self-awareness and a consciousness. And I think that basically we're at the sort of flea stage at the moment. And then I think in 1,000 years, they'll go, fucking hell, he was right. There you go.
They'll have to be listening to this, though, because it's not getting out to the wider audience, is it?
Well, not yet, but I'm actually seriously consider emailing Joe Rogan and saying, can I come on and rebut that? Honestly, I think I want there's something. I've Googled it. I've never heard anyone talk about it. It's so...
I'd love you to go on Joe Rogan with your half-baked idea.
Well, that's what it is. That is his show.
Are you allowed to go on and say that sort of stuff?
Well, he normally is the half-baked geezer, isn't he? Like, he'll get like and he asks the sort of layman questions, and then he's a stroppy fucker. I wouldn't want to get, like, he's so stroppy. Like, this bloke was going like, oh, that's what these people, they go, hang on a minute, explain that. No, that doesn't do, he's like really arsey with people.
But
that's by the by. But anyway, I'm going to go back to my notebook and say to the listener, go back to episode 1739 of the Joe Rogan Experience, Philip Goff, and listen to it with my theory in mind, and it is like you know the answer to the riddle when you're watching people try and work it out. There you go.
Okay, I look forward to it. I won't listen to it because I can't stand the man. But
no, I can't either, but I like to sleep to podcasts, and his are like 3-4 hours long.
Yeah.
And Spotify is better for me to listen to. It uses less bandwidth than YouTube. And where I live, I don't know what happens at night, but my Wi-Fi keeps going off. And so I go on mobile data and I've started listening to him again. But only if it's an interesting guest. And someone talking about consciousness, I was like, oh, that is interesting.
You're all over that. You're all over that.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, going, this geezer, that makes shit. What about the fucking parasites, man?
The brain parasites from space.
Everything's from space. Don't you say that to make it sound outlandish. You name one thing.
I'm not saying I agree with you.
Well, what's not from space then?
Everything's from space.
There you go. Thank you. This is space. We talk about space like it's separate. We're not part of space.
Yeah, we're in space. We're just a speck in space. Yeah,
everything's in space.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Well, shut up then.
We got a voice message from little Mark Honeybuns. I would say we got one message. He sent us two. Because one wasn't enough. But I feel, Mark, and I'm not critiquing you, and I love that you've sent a voice message. I reckon you could have condensed it into a minute.
Mm.
Maybe I have. Maybe I've edited it.
Right,
maybe
let's drop that in now.
Hey, Justin and Ash. Long time since I sent a message. Long time since I've heard one on your podcast. So I thought I'd drop you one. Just curious, how are you all doing for Christmas? Do you enjoy Christmas? Personally, I not a fan. Working in retail, we have our stuff sorted about, September time? Drives me loopy. Avoided swearing then. So got some Christmas presents sorted. Struggling with other people, struggling with some. I don't even know what I want. So you get asked, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I don't know, anything. So question to both of you. Have you bought your Christmas presents? What you want for Christmas? That's about it. Sending another message because you only get 60 seconds. It's a bit of a pain in the ass. So hopefully that's good. You know what you want for Christmas, I'd imagine. Obviously, both of you got kids. Hopefully, you've got what they wanted, or they're not too picky. This message is from your good friend, Mark Honeybuns. And hopefully, I'll hear from you soon on your glorious podcast. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that bollocks. And have a good one.
And there you go. I don't know why we left a big pause. I could just drop it in.
Yeah.
So, what are your views on Christmas? I think we could all imagine.
Well, I think you'd be wrong. Well, here's the truth. No, I don't like it, but hear me out. When I worked full-time job, loved it.
Did you? Because of the break?
Because of the break, you get to sit around drinking. You don't have to go to work. Basically, Sunday to Thursday, I sit around drinking, don't go to work. Christmas is meh. Other people get to sit around and drink with me. They cramp my style. I'm not a religious guy. I don't really like... I didn't like lying to my children about Father Christmas, I'll be honest. I didn't blow the gig, but I didn't... I felt a bit awks and screams about it. But you go along with it, and then the pretend... Oh, it's the season of goodwill on today. You've got to be nice to everyone. So why don't you be nice every day anyway? I don't know. It's a strange... I just sort of think in the old days when life was harder and the midwinter, to have a festival where you get together and you eat... And again, eating a turkey, that was probably like the only time you'd sit around and get a nice bit of meat. Now, I could go to the fucking Tesco's across the road now and get a steak. It's just... The gimmick's gone, isn't it? It's like, we're all together. We haven't got to go to work. We're eating a bird and some vegetables. This is all unique and special. It's like, I eat better than that on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just kind of like, and the other thing is, in the old days, even like my parents here, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I had to get a cardigan for Christmas. And I was like, you get a fucking Primark and get 10 cardigans for 20 quid. And I don't know, if I need an iPhone, I get an iPhone. If my kids break an iPhone, I buy them an iPhone. I have to wait till Christmas. It's sort of like, it's just another day now, isn't it?
It's very difficult because we now are a land of plenty.
Yes, we're a land of plenty. So a midwinter festival of plenty just seems archaic.
Yeah.
And redundant, I guess.
And I don't... But I love it. Like, I know you never really got much. I think that might change now in your world.
Yeah.
That you might.
It's going to freak me out.
Yeah, it's going to freak you out a bit, isn't it?
Like a rescue dog. And every time you reach out to stroke it, it cowers and starts shaking.
Yeah, but that is, I mean, largely due to, you know, you were married to someone who wasn't necessarily a Christian before.
Wasn't necessarily a Christian. What are you so terrified of saying? That is a man.
No, because there's a word. There's a word that I've said before, and then you said, no, you can't say that.
You can, as long as you put ish on the end.
Oh, right. But listen, she was Jewish. She was from Jewish descent.
She not was. She still is. She's not my wife anymore. She's but still then, do you know what that was? That was a man on a tightrope, sweating, panicking, trembling, and then you zoom out, and the tightrope was 1 inch off the ground, but it's still
freaking
out. Yeah,
but if I say the wrong thing, then you correct me, and then I go, oh, I'm so ignorant. Yeah, you were married to a Jewish woman, so she wasn't going to go lavish and buy you. Like, you got some lovely presents.
I don't think it was that. I think it's more that she's spectrumy and didn't really care about anything.
I think that could be true. Okay. But this time round, you're going to get some stuff. But,
and then you got to buy it back.
But we don't, like, this year, me and my wife have honestly said, let's genuinely not.
But here's what you do. But on Christmas Day, you go, you've got to be the one that does buy something.
No, I'm not going to do
that. No, but I want you to. I think the listeners, we should all donate so you buy like a fucking Fabergé egg or something. Mm. And then you whip it out and go, oh, really not going to get each other? And then you can sulk.
Yeah, that's good. And then you could be on your own.
No. You'll get a lot of extras, as we say, over the course of the year.
I don't know that that's true. But yeah, so we're not, and I don't need anything. There's stuff that I'm going to buy this year, but not like, that is it. I've bought everything. Like you're saying, you felt I've got an iPhone. Yeah. I've got PS5.
I prefer a curry and a kebab to a roast dinner.
Yeah, everyone does.
Exactly. So why is that? Oh, this big day of the year that everyone celebrates. Let's eat this fucking shit. Let's go and eat some fucking root vegetables that we've put in the oven.
What? Last year, obviously, everyone was locked down and no one could get together or anything last year. But we had the mother-in-law was in the bubble, in our bubble, so she could come over. But my wife had done, I reckon it was the poorest food selection for me. And I know I'm the awkward one.
Yeah.
But it was, she was like, look at how much we've got. And I was like, oh,
can't eat that.
For me. Yeah. I think the big thing I miss now being a vegan.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Pigs in blankets.
No, never. I don't think I've ever had a pig in a blanket.
Mm.
What I love more than anything, dark chocolate orange.
Oh, dark chocolate orange?
That's my favourite.
No, nobody likes dark chocolate orange. You're just saying that because you want to punish yourself for eating milk chocolate orange. I believe you think you like it. You fucking dick. Why you got to self-flagellate yourself with a dark chocolate orange? Why can't you just have a Terry's milk chocolate orange like the rest of us and stop being such a fucking hipster? I don't know what the word is.
They do dark chocolate oranges. I think they do, don't they?
I don't know. Oh, don't pretend you don't eat a dark chocolate orange.
I only ever had milk chocolate ones.
Like, two unpopular opinions, but I stand by these.
Go on.
Orange and chocolate don't go together.
Wow.
And this is even more controversial, or meat's the most resistant. Neither does mint and chocolate.
My wife hates mint chocolate.
I'll tell you what, here's a thing. You know, like you said, your wife come in and brushed her teeth while you was having a piss?
Yeah.
How about eat a chocolate bar while you're brushing your teeth? There you go. There's your fucking mint chocolate. The worst thing is I know adults that I sort of think, you're an all right person. And then they'll go, oh, I love mint choc chip ice cream. And I'm like, hang on, what? You like mint choc chip ice cream?
You know what's the most disgusting? It's got bits of dark chocolate in it, isn't it?
No, the worst thing is, this is the thing. Orange is a toiletry product, like a toilet duck. When I smell the orange, I'm thinking, oh, someone's cleaning the kitchen. That sort of artificial orange thing. It's a scent that is like...
Citrusness, isn't it?
Well, it's that artificial orange.
Good for cutting through grease.
Yeah, exactly. It's like either a magic tree hanging up in your car, or something you clean the sink with, or some sort of like foam that smells like orange that is like melts away the fucking scum in an oven.
Let me guess your favourite ice cream, rum and raisin. Done.
Never had it.
Now, yours is macadamia and pecan.
I don't know what that means, but what's some, that's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
My favourite ice cream, I like a toffee sort of one.
Do you?
Yeah. I remember like I used to...
Oh, the cheap toffee swirl ice cream. Yeah, little lumps. Yeah. Oh my God, that was incredible. I haven't thought Wools, about it for 20 Wools, years.
Wools or Lion's Maid used to make these finest range of lollies in the 80s. And there was one that was like a minty one, which I didn't like. They were sort of like before feasts. And one was called like a toffee crumble or something. It was on a stick.
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How? I mean, I haven't thought about one of them for 30 years, and I've just got.
Oh, I do miss toffee.
Oh my God, them toffee crumbles! It was like a feast.
Was it? Like, was it on the outside? It was almost. It was toffee like breadcrumby type.
Yes, exactly. It was almost like wood chip. God, they were. Well, a feast was actually more wood chip. This was more like they'd rolled it in something.
Yeah.
Like they'd rolled it in toenail clippings, but it was delicious.
Delicious toenail clippings.
Yeah, I love a toenail clipping. But yeah, so I'd say like I like that sort of toffee. Like if I did eat sugary stuff, it would be like that toffee caramel.
Would you eat ice cream? Would you avoid ice cream?
Yeah, I'm a scoffer, and you can't scoff ice cream. I suffer bad from the old brain freeze, as people call it now. I didn't know it was called that when I used to get it all the time. But I like things. That's why I like lager. I guzzle. I'm a guzzle. Damn it. And like when I drink coffee, I let it get to the room temperature so I can down it. I don't like to sip hot coffee. You know what I mean? I don't like, you know, when people it's too hot, and it's like, oh, you got to basically just touch it on your lips.
What do you savor then?
Honestly, you're not going to like it. And I'm not saying this is a bit dark chocolate. I don't chew it. I let it melt in my mouth so it's bitterer for longer. That is the truth.
You like it? Yeah, well, you like to draw out the pain and the.
Yeah,
unhappy.
I don't actually like it.
Yeah. Because
I'm punishing myself for when I diddled that kid. You said you started it. What else do I savour? I make these things called keto bowls, which I invented.
And I want that. I do like the sound of that.
Yeah. It's like peanuts.
Yeah.
Hummus.
Yeah.
And I have cheese and salami. You wouldn't have that. And chili sauce.
I put some vegan cheese. I put some vegan cheese in it.
We've always got vegan cheese in the house, mate. My girlfriend's, the young lad that lives with us, Julio.
How's he doing?
He's alright. Julio. You know, I brought him over from Brazil. Poor boy. Very, very, very impoverished background. He's grateful. Yeah, we've always got this cheese made out of like fucking coconut bark.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
I want one of your little keto bowls.
I
like
make a keto bowl, my man. It's because what I used to do was I used to think, oh, I actually miss it. That is something I do miss. Bit off topic, cereal. I did like bowls of cereal. I would eat cereal. I used to eat cereal like a stoner. It'd be full, but. A bowl of Frosties at 10 o'clock at night, no problem. Don't even see it as a breakfast food.
Well, it shouldn't be, should it? It's actually perfect. Like the comedian's dinner, often a cereal. But I've slipped now. I've gone to the most bland of cereal. I've really gone off. I don't eat any cereal other than maybe a shreddy.
Do you have coconut or oat milk or something else?
Yeah, I have oat milk.
You don't have soy. You're not a soy boy. I don't give you tits on that.
I've stopped soya.
Soya's bad for you, isn't it?
Oh, apparently too much is more than about 100 mil a day or something.
Isn't it estrogen producing or something? Or is that a
myth? I don't know.
Is that something that like carnivores
big oat milk mate said that to try and get people off the old soya?
The big oat milk. But it was I'll tell you what it is with cereal. I don't know how to describe it. It's the ritual, as in you can't quite say it's the texture. But it's the eating something out of a bowl that's got lumps in it and liquid is that. So a keto bowl, peanuts and hummus and mayonnaise.
Do you mix it all together?
Oh, yeah. I mix it. I mean, it looks like a bowl of sticky cereal.
It's like a, and you're it's like eating a, that with a spoon? Or
yeah,
a fork?
I have a bowl with a spoon, yeah. Like I use that to sort of scratch that eating a bowl of cereal itch. Even though it's savoury and doesn't taste like cereal, it's the same format. That's the word I was looking for.
I really like that.
I like the
salted peanuts or just roasted peanuts?
Half salt and vinegar and half chilli.
Wow!
It's amazing. It's such a... Honestly, it's so... Do you talk about I like strong flavours? You put... I've got to make you a keto pie. You put a spoonful in your mouth and your eyes roll in the back of your head. I mean, it's a lot of flavour in there. I love it.
I want this. I want this. I want
and,
it.
And a cheap, generic Frank's hot chili sauce, Frank's hot sauce, which is basically just liquid red salt. It's not even spicy, but it's tangy. And maybe a squirt of lime juice. And just mix it all up.
Oh, I do hate lime.
Yeah, but you
I
won't
hate
miss.
Lemon in lime juice.
Well, I hate orange and chocolate, so fuck you.
Yeah, I'm well up for that. Well up for that. You do have to check the salt and milk in them. But
it doesn't have to be salt and vinegar.
I want that. I want that, though.
Yeah, and I tell you, sometimes I'll put a little few scattering of Marmite cashews in there.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, mate, this is good. It's good shit. And again, I mean, if you top this with some fried ketchup, this is a unique meal you're not going to get anywhere else. I'm like, Heston fucking Blumenthal.
I want some fried ketchup. I can say that.
Yeah, fried ketchup, mate. Yeah. It's fucking intense. Fried
the keto
ketchup.
Bowl, like, is that a snack? Is that a meal?
That's like, yeah, snack.
Are you getting like a large pot of hummus?
Yeah, not a whole pot. I tell you, so I'll put a handful of salt and vinegar peanuts, handful, this is what I have, obviously this is not all, you can't have all these ingredients. Handful of chili peanuts, but not chili coated, I can't have the coating. The ones from Aldi's that are just peanuts and chili powder, not that fucking coating
nice.
On yet.
They are nice.
Yeah, the snack white ones. Then two big spoonfuls of hummus, squirt of mayo. Sometimes I put a bit of tzatziki in there, if I got it, a little bit. Then loads and loads and loads and loads of chili sauce, and then a pepperami cut up. And I like salamis. I like exotic. I like gourmet salamis, but a pepperami in this because of how small they are. Perfect little chewy chunks in there. Salami, grated cheese. Stir it all up. Did I say Frank's? Loads of Frank's. More Frank's was put on top, and it goes like an orangey, gooey, sticky mess. And it's fucking delicious.
Listener, if you're going to try that in the next week. Or whatever, a few weeks, tweet us a picture. I'd love to see it. And then, Panks, next time you make one, can you send us a picture?
I'll do one now, mate. I've got all the stuff here. I'll do one in a minute.
That is the one thing that I think I could put effort in. That, to me, sounds absolutely delightful.
Yeah, I'll make one.
I'm up for it. And that'll be the starter, will it, for when you cook me the big vegan dinner?
Yeah, I'll cook that. Obviously, sans mayo cheese or with vegan equivalents.
Vegan,
is there a vegan salami? Like saying it's got to be quite
there
toothy.
Must be. There must be.
It can't be thin sliced though. It's got to be chunks.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Like I've tried.
Yeah,
tried
I see what you're saying.
You need something that's like almost like the equivalent of like
a little,
you know,
nubbin. A little.
You know when you're eating Alpen and you get the little delicious chewy raisin. That's what the salami is. It serves that purpose.
Lovely. This is great. Well, thanks, listener. That's it. That's today's episode. Don't forget, there'll be another one coming up later in the week, as far as we're aware. I mean, I'm saying this, it's not recorded. It might not happen. I've seen that happen before.
It's going to happen. Everyone's so fucking negative. Just be positive, like me. Why can't you just have a sunny disposition where you always expect the best, like me?
And I'm seeing you.
We're going to put that in the diary after we... stop recording. We're going to put a date in on this flannel around maybe the early part next week. I want a time and a date and a location.
Okay. All right. That's done. Cheers, listener. We'll speak to you again soon.
Push the podcast. Send us money. Push the podcast. It's twice a week. Push this podcast. The reason we're going twice a week is just we've plateaued. Not in terms of content. You know it's the best, but we want to grow. Exponential growth. We are capitalist pig dogs.
You can now subscribe to the podcast over on Anchor if you want to. You get an extra podcast every month. Or you can go to Patreon, you can get an extra podcast, or you can get a video as well. Or you can go to Ko-fi and just send us money. Just send us money.
We want at the moment, we're looking for listeners rather than money, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. And then the money comes later. Get them hooked like a pimp. Get them hooked on the crack.
Get your most gullible friend listening to this.
Yeah.
All right. Cheers, mate.
Bye.